whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. This week is a special week at Victory Baptist Church in Thomasville. It is our honor to be hosting evangelist Brian McBride and his family for our winter revival. For this week's broadcast, we will be featuring one of the sermons Brother McBride preached at Victory during his last visit with us. The message is entitled, The Audacity of Faith, and is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Listen now as we begin.
But we'll start in Hebrews 11 and verse number 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And I want to preach a little while on Moses' parents tonight, and I want to preach on the audacity of faith. Now, the word audacity means the willingness to take bold risks. If you know God, knowing Him and knowing what He's like and what He is able to do and what He is willing to do ought to make us want to take some bold risks for the cause of Christ. To go beyond the norm, to go, as society puts it in modern day lingo, outside the box. To not just be a normal everyday Christian, but to go beyond. I want you to notice, first of all, there was great audacity exhibited in the birthing of this child. The very fact that they brought a child into the world at this particular time tells me that they had great courage. You see, Pharaoh had enacted a law that all the male babies were to be thrown into the river. They were to be destroyed. And so that is the context and the time period of them bringing this child into the world. No doubt someone would say, well, not a good time to raise a family. Not a good time to bring a child into the world. But you know, God had said, be fruitful and multiply. And so they were not afraid of what the king said. They had a fear in their heart of what God said. They wanted to obey the Lord. The world will say, well, you know, Christianity's outmoded and it's old-fashioned and it doesn't fit in anymore. And I'll tell you the truth, they're right about one thing. Christianity does not fit in anymore in the world in which we live. But I still want to live like a Christian, and I still want to walk with God, and I still want to have a testimony that will bring glory to Christ. I'm thinking about what difficulty and what poor circumstances there were here. I thought to myself, this child was born among sinners. Now, we might have a tendency to think that everybody in Israel was a person of faith, that all the Israelites loved God, but it's not true. Joshua will tell us this. When they get into the promised land, Joshua will say to Israel, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. So here was a family who was exceptional in their belief and their trust of God. So he was born among sinners. He was also born under sentence, under the sentence of death. Pharaoh, as I mentioned, had already passed the law, put it into effect, that the male babies were to be cast into the river. So this child, you might say, humanly speaking, starts out behind. He comes into this world at a disadvantage, under judgment. But I would like to say to you, every child comes into this world under judgment, because we're born sinners. Someone will say, well, preacher, I've always been a Christian. No, you haven't always been a Christian. You were born a sinner. You were born lost without God. You were born outside the household of faith. You were born into this world. The Bible said we'll go forth from our mother's womb speaking lies. And Paul said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Isaiah said all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. We were all born sinners. Not a one of us born a Christian. But thank God when the Holy Ghost came by and convicted us of our sin, when we heard the gospel and we repent and believe, then we became Christians. But this young child was born among sinners and born under sentence. And then he was born to serve under servitude. You know, he's going to be born a slave. That's what Israel was. All of Israel were slaves under the Egyptians. Now you think about this. You think about Jochebed and Amram. Jochebed, his mother, and Amram, his father, talking about having a child. And someone will say, well, the best that this boy, this child, if he's born, if he even lives, the best he can ever hope for is he'll be a slave. He'll never be able to decide where he's going to live. He'll never be able to decide who he's going to marry. He'll never be able to decide his own occupation. He'll not have a time that is his own. He will be born a slave. He will be at the mercy of the taskmasters. And so if you look at it, you'd say, not a good time to bring a child into the world. And you know, in the day we live, many young people and young married couples say, well, preacher, it's not a good time to bring a child into the world. The world's in bad shape. And if you bring a child in, they're not going to have much to look forward to. But I want to say a fourth thing about the birth of this child, and that is he was born for significance. God had a plan for his life. And I would like to say to you on the authority of the Word of God that God has a plan for every life in this world and a plan for every child that comes in. And someone will say, well, preacher, how far can a child go in the day we live? As far as they can trust God, that's how far they can go. But then I want you to notice, secondly, there was great audacity exhibited in the boating of this child. Now, the Bible said that they hid him 3 months. Then the Bible said they made him a little boat, a little ark. She daubed it, verse number 3 of Exodus 2, with slime and with pitch. I'm wondering about this slime, because if you'll study your Bible, you'll find that the slime was what was used to build bricks, the mortar for the bricks. Could you imagine Amram getting up in the morning, headed out to work as a slave, building for Pharaoh? I thought about what it would be like to get up and think, another day in the slime pit, and then I can see him come home and he's trying to wash it out of his hair and blow it out of his nose and clean it out of his ears. And he's trying to get it out from under his fingernails. And I can hear him say, man, if I never see another slime pit as long as I live, I'll be happy. Sometimes in our lives, we have to face trouble. And sometimes we have to face it on a daily basis. And sometimes we might say, like Amram might have said, man, I'd be glad when this is done with. And if I never have to face this again, I'll be so happy. And we come home and complain about our lot and our trouble. But I want you to think about what she did, what Jochebed did with the slime. She didn't use it as a matter of complaint. She used it to save her boy's life. I think we spend too much time in front of our children tell them how hard we have it and how tough life is. When what we could do is in the time of trial, we could tell them how we're trusting God to make a difference. And then she used pitch. And if you study pitch in the Bible, it has to do with atonement. It always is a picture of salvation. And so I'm sure she believed that God would save them and take care of them. And then she wrapped them up. She put them in the boat made out of the bulrushes. We call it papyrus. You know what they did with that papyrus? They peeled the outside of it off and dried it. And it's what they wrote on. It was their paper, the papyrus. So she wrapped him up in writing. She took that papyrus, those bulrushes, and wrapped him up in it. You know what we ought to be doing with our children? We ought to be wrapping them up in the writing of the Word of God. It took great audacity and great faith at the birthing of the child and at the boating of the child. But then it took great faith and great audacity at the bringing of the child. Because you know what? Her greatest test is yet to come. The Bible says she kept the child for 3 months hidden. Then she got the child and went through the weaning process. Now, the weaning process in Bible days and in the days of Egypt was a little different than today. It could have lasted anywhere from 2 to 5 years. And then, one day, she took that boy and handed him over to the enemy. Now you think what faith it must have taken to hand him over to Pharaoh's daughter. He'll never again hear the things that she has taught him. He won't be hearing what the Word of God has to say. He won't be hearing any of that. He is in the hand of the enemy. Now here's what the Bible says happened to him when he went to Pharaoh's household. The Bible said that he had the learning of Egypt put into his head. So we have those things that are influencing him. But I want you to look at a verse, verse 22, Acts 7. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in word and deeds. Now watch this. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. You see, it would look like when she handed Moses over, that was the end of it. But there was God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And so God said on a day when the day was right and the time was right, God, He must have put it in the heart. It came into His heart to visit the children of Israel. Now I'll say this to you parents. You say, preacher, I raised them and I loved them and I prayed for them and I gave them the Word of God, but they're not living the way they ought to live. I want to remind you that God is able to find them wherever they are, and God is able to overrule whatever influences are in their lives, and God is able to put something in their heart just like He put something in Moses' heart. She might have tried to save that boy without trusting God, and we never would have seen what we saw. And you might be holding back tonight somewhere in your life. You're just holding back because you don't think God is wise enough or strong enough or loving enough to handle it. And what you ought to do tonight is just give it to Him. Just let Him have His way. He's big enough.
You've been listening to a portion of a message at Victory Baptist Church by Brian McBride. This week, we are hosting Brother McBride and his family at Victory for our winter revival, and we'd like to extend this special invitation for you to join us during these special meetings. Brother McBride will be speaking at the morning services today at 10 o'clock and at 11 o'clock. He will also be speaking each evening, tonight through Thursday night at 7 o'clock. The McBride family are gifted string instrumentalists and will be providing special music at each service. We hope you can join us. Will you choose Victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.